Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We got to the top around six lines down. The Gemara says, Tanya, Kavase de Rav Yehuda. There's a brayso that supports of Yehuda's position. And Yehuda was the one who said that if a person, you do not get a separate malchus on ki nefesh hu chovel. That was a lav shebachlalos. He says there is no malchus. There's no separate set of malchus for lav shebachlalos. So what's the brayso? Chovel zug shel safarim. So you take a scissors from the safarim, from the barbers. Or tzemed shel paros, or the yoke for the cows, chayv shtaim. You're chayv two separate ones. Rashi explains here, chavo zug shel saparim, misparim shel saparim. The scissors that the barbers use, vehein shel prakim. It's separate. Vechol chad kli bapei nafshi. They're viewed as two separate knives. Veosin hamlacha bein shinem kirechayim berechav. They're two different. Even though it's one malacha, they're viewed as two different utensils, and you're chayv separately. Now the Rishonim all ask, didn't we learn ki ochel nefesh? You only say it's ochel nefesh. How is cutting the hair considered ochel nefesh? So the Ran's mechadesh from Rashi because anything beguf on the body is considered an extension of ochel nefesh. It doesn't mean food, it means things that are bodily needs. So it could be eating, it could be haircuts, it could be bathing, anything that has to do with a guf. That's the Ran's understanding of Rashi. Now Rabbeinu Peretz says no. Rashi says because you could always take the scissors and sell it, and that money can be used for food.
As
anything, he says. That doesn't make any sense. Rabbeinu Peretz therefore says the scissors we're talking about here, scissors used for cutting meat. So that's mamish ochel nefesh. Okay.
Shaitamacher.
But that's still not the ochel nefesh.
No, but he was making
parnasa. Parnasa. That's what the barber also makes parnasa out of it.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Okay, so you chayv two for the scissors, and then Rashi says chayv shtayim mishum ki nefesh al kol chad. Each one is separate, just like rechav v'chayim are viewed as two different kalim. So too, the two misparayim are two different kalim. The afal pishish name tzrichim l'mlach achas. Even though they have the same goal, they're accomplishing the same. They're still viewed as two different yisurim. V'chein semed shel paro. So too, this yoke of the cows that shapar chaval beis paros choreshus imitzim madon, that they're going with the yoke. The hainu nami kli ochel nefesh. It's about the food. It's helping things grow. And then Rashi himself says v'nir be'enai sheha'ol shelahen shel prakim havi. So the first pshat in Rashi is the two cows. Going on the two cows, there's two separate items. But then Rashi gives his own pshat. He thinks it's referring to the yoke. That ol is really two different kalim. Those are the two parts. Tosos also has such a small discussion about is it the cow or is it the tzemeh that's two. Either way, this Bryce says you're chayiv separate, two separate lavim, because they're two separate kalim. But then the Bryce says that zeb atzmo eino chayiv ela achas. If you use each one independently, then you're only chayiv one. If you use just one knife, one side of the scissor, that's only one chayiv, one iser. Tani idach, the other Bryce tells us that chavel zug shel saparim, you take as a mashkon a scissor of the barber or of the meat cutter. V'temet shel paros, yachal lo yechayv ela achas. One might think there's only one iser, because it's really accomplishing one melacha. Tamalomar lo yachbo rechayim v'rechev, marechayim v'rechev, shehen miyuchadim mishnei kleilim v'osim melacha achas, v'chayv al zeb b'fnei atzmo v'al zeb b'fnei atzmo. There are two kalim that are accomplishing the same goal, but still you're chayv independently on each of them. So to af, kol divarim shehen shnei kalim miyuchadim v'osim melacha achas, chayv al kol zeb b'fnei atzmo v'al zeb b'fnei atzmo. So same idea, these two brises support Rav Yehuda, then again, you're not chayv a general lav shebechlalos of kinefeshu, rather you're only chayv on each teli, but not a general klal, not a general lav. Now look at a small tosos here, Diba Maskel Kalim, it's a two-liner. Kalim she'osim bahen ochel nefesh has to be another item that's accomplishing ochel nefesh. So it says Tosos here, nir l'ri dafka kalim aval ochlim atzman mutter lachbal. Interesting. Actual food is permitted to be taken. The iser only applies to kalim. The pashas is because it has to do with the pasuk. The pasuk has kalim, doesn't mention food. But logically, you would think if kalim, which create food, will be usher, certainly food should be usher as well. So I'm not sure why Tosfos makes a distinction other than it's a gzer sakasiv. The pasuk only mentions kalim.
The thing is, well, because these are all things that you can do large volumes.
Ah, like long-term use.
Long-term and large, meaning like if you take, let's say, the rechem and rechaim, you can make like 10 liters.
Yeah, but I don't know, but let's have a small one.
Of,
but I don't know if the pasuk limits it to only big.
Right.
I have a small grinder.
But I'm saying he can do the whole day.
A lot of work.
Right.
Right, uh-huh. A lot of work that can be done, as opposed to like, you know, a jar of whatever, or that
it's a one-time thing. But let's say you have a huge vat of wine. Let's say it's unlimited. Huge quantities of wine,
right,
or whatever.
Exactly.
So then with
the
that...
The truth is, it is hard. Also, maybe, you know, it doesn't even say that if he doesn't have any other food left over or what.
Right, so, but the, I guess the simple distinction is one is long-term use and one's a one-time use. But that's the chiluk that Tosfos writes. The Gemara has a ma'isa. Hahu gavra de chavel sakina dashkavasa mechavra. A person took as a mashkon a knife. What type of knife is this? If you look at Rashi, the last three narrow lines. Rashi says sakina deshkavta shabes hametpachim shemekatzim babasa meat cutter. So he takes this this butcher knife and from the friend of a as a mashkon. Now, others argue, others say it's not stam a butcher knife, because we're going to see in the end of the Gemara, it's referring to something that people are makbid on. People are not makbid on butcher knives, so others interpret this referring to the shechting knife, which people are makbid on. A shochet does not give you his knife. It has to be completely smooth. So that's a machlokas, what type of knife, but Rashi says it's referring to a meat cutter. So he takes this as a mashkon, also lakame debai, goes to Abaye, and Amarlai, he says, zil ahadre, Davle klish osim ba ochel nefesh. Abai says, you can't take this. This is ochel nefesh. You need to give it back. It's a violation of an iser deraisa. V'takum bedinei Allah. And go take him to Bezdin. So Rashi explains, v'takum bedinei tavau l'din al tov achovcha. Go take him to din that he owes you money. Imodil achov, if he admits to you, o im yesh edem yishalem. If you have edem or he admits, he pays you. Vim lav, if not, yishba shuas heses. You take a shu that he owes you money, and then you could collect the money. Rava Amar, Rava argues, as lo tzarech lemekem bedina Allah. You don't have to go to Bezdin, v'yachol liton ad kidei demeim. You could claim up until the money. So look at Rashi on this one. Rashi said, Rava Amar, kevin de meshkane, since you took this knife as a mashkon, vein edim shemashkana haya, no edim tested can witness you taking it as a mashkon, haya yachol liton lekucha habyadim. You could claim that you actually bought it. He can't deny it. There's no indication otherwise. And lo tzarech lemekem bedina alave, you don't have to go to Bezdin. Dekani le mashkon lishava v'lito ad kidei damav. So Rava says you're allowed to actually keep this mashkon because he has no claim, but you're an honest guy. So you're not going to lie and say, I really bought it. But since you could have said that, that gives your taina strength now, and you are allowed to keep this mashkon, even though you're not supposed to take a mashkon of kliyochel nefesh. This fact that you're holding it, though, gives you the right to collect up until the value of that knife. That's what Rava says. That's machlokes Abai. But sound like from Rava, l'chachila, you shouldn't take it because it is ochel nefesh. But once you've taken it, now you have this migo to say that you could claim it's really yours and you bought it. So now you have a stronger claim to at least collect the money up until the value of that knife. Well, Abai says, no, you have no right. You have to return it. You did a los essay. You have to hashev tishivein. You have to return it. So the Gemara says, Abai, lesle hai svara. Abai doesn't hold to such a svara, where if you're holding a mashkon, you could claim that as partial payment. Hahu wasn't there, hahu savra, ahu maishna, why is it any different? Mehani easy, we saw the story of the goats already. We saw, have we seen this yet? We've seen it quoted. The Gemara says it's a Gemara, but Basra we'll see in a few weeks from today. But I thought we saw this earlier. Either way, there's honey easy, the achli, chushla, binar hada. There were these goats that were eating chushla. What's chushla? Rashi says, se'orin klufim. It means barley that has been shelled or something, the whatever the term is. So he's eating the barley. These goats were eating the barley in Naharda. So also Mara the Chushlan, the owner of the Sorum, got very upset. These goats are eating my food. The Tafisla, when he grabs hold of the goats, the Katar and Tuba, now he's claiming all this money that you owe me for your goats eating my property. So what happened? Amar Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel. I tell you the mice of Avua de Shmuel. I just only learned this recently, Avua de Shmuel. Avu de Shmuel, there's a whole Maisa Shehaya brought down in Tosos and Kedushin, the end of Tosos and Kedushin. Avu de Shmuel, I'm forgetting the entire Maisa now, but he was somehow overseas, and he said, V'shem Hashem, his wife was overseas, they were at different places, and then I forget why, what got him to do this, but he used Shem Hashem, and he jumped, he kvitz aderech, went home, and conceived Shmuel, and then he went back overseas. And everyone was choshesh, who fathered Shmuel, because his father was away. So they call him Avu the Shmuel to make it clear that he was the father of Shmuel. So I forget, there's a whole maisa to this, but this is such a medrash that Tosfos quotes in Kedushin. Uh-huh. That's why it's called Avu the Shmuel. Interesting. Okay.
I heard that story from someone else before.
What? Okay. So I'm Avu the Shmuel.
Yeah, take that. So,
only people Avu the Shmuel have such kochos to use creases out there. So I'm Avu the Shmuel.
said.
Yachaliton. The people say Yachaliton ad kidei demayim. So Rishma says you're able to claim up until the demayim. You're able to claim up until the value of the goat. Remember, the guy whose barley is being eaten, he was holding the goat as his mashko now. So Avud Rishma says these goats, you have at least the ability to collect up until their value. So does Abaye go against this svara? This is a maisa that was in the Harda before the time of Abaye. Seemed to be accepted by everyone. So of course he holds, if you take a mashkan, you could collect on it. How come by the knife? He says you can't use the knife to collect. So Gemara says, Hasam lav mide de avdi la shule la ogre. Who? The case of goats, no one lends goats. People don't lend out goats. So him holding onto the goats, that was a real mashkan. And he had a taina. He could have said, I bought it. Since he didn't say I bought it, he could view this, it's a good miga. But hacha here, mide d'avir la shulei la grei, who? So is it normal for people to lend out knives? No. So it's not normal for that. What does that mean? So the shalach Rav Huna bar Avin, dvarim ha'asuyin lehashil lehashi, things that are normally, things that are normally, people do normally lend out knives. So something that's normally lent out and rented out, and the person says, oh, lekuchen him yadi, eino neman. The guy has a rent-a-car, and he says, I bought the car now. Rent-a-cars, you could tell which cars are rented, which aren't. They have the smaller cars, what do you call those small cars? Those little, what's the term?
Sedans?
They have special cars that only rent-a-car places you, like really small, they barely fit two people in the back. You clearly know no one buys those. You can't buy those. Those
smart.
Like a smart car. But it's tiny cars. So no one knows, you can't claim you bought it. You can't claim that you bought the car. It's clearly a rent-a-car. So here, too, also, you can't claim you bought this knife. Everyone lends out knives. It's not a taina that you bought it unless you have proof that you bought it. So here, in the case of the knife, the guy didn't have a claim that he could have bought it. You didn't buy it. You don't have proof that you bought it. Mistama, we assume you borrowed it from your neighbor, and therefore your amigo isn't good. But in a situation where people don't lend out, you don't lend out goats, and I'm holding the goats, I could claim I bought the goats. And therefore, since I'm telling you I actually didn't buy it, but I'm taking it as a mashkum, the fact that I could have said lukuchen him biyadi, that gives my taina greater strength, and that's where Abaye says you can make a claim, but in the case of the knife, Abaye says you can't make the claim. So Gemara says, Rava less lahay svara? Does he not hold the svara? Rava also agrees. In a situation of things, kalim, that are suyin, lahashu lahaskal, things that are normally rented and borrowed, you can't claim lukuchen him biyadi unless you have proof of purchase. So how come Rava says by the knife you can claim lekuchen heim biyadi? So v'har Rava apik zuga de sarvala. Didn't Rava, once a person took a zuga de sarvala, what's a zuga de sarvala? Misparayim that you goes in ben semer, a special knife you'd use to shear the wool of a goat. And also safra da agadita, and books of agadita, stories of agadita. These things miyasme, see he took these as bidvarm hasum lehashu lehashchir. So what's the going on here? So look at Rashi says. Rashi says, "Afilu miyasme shivilu habaylim edim shayu shelahem." So the Yisomim had inherited some books of Agarta and some special shearing knives from their father. And now the owner says, "Those are mine. His father took him. He died." So what happened? They brought edim that I own those knives. Those scissors are mine. V'hein ta'onin hishalun lavim shalelu. And they claim, "No, he lent them to my father." Vafkinu Rava remove them from the Yisomim. Minayu mishum dvarm hasuin lahashu lahaschio. These are things that are normally lent out. Vim Isa diachaliton lakuchem biyadi yisami kilotanu nami anitaninale. So if it's really true, you can make a claim of lakuchem biyadi. So even though the Yisomim never claim we bought it, we, to help protect the Yisomim, Bezin will always give any taina possible that it works, they're going to make for the Yisomim. So why didn't the Basin say, oh, the Yisomim could say, Lekuchen Heim Biyadi, and they bought it. How could Rava go ahead and take them out of the possession? Must be items that are normally lent out. You can't claim that they were bought. So why does Rava say by the case of the knife, of the butcher knife, those are things that's normally lent out. So how come you could claim Lekuchen Heim Biyadi? So the Gemara says, no, these knives are different. Amr Lecha Rava, Hai Nami Kevan Dimifkame Kapti Inshe Vlo Moshlim. If a knife gets ruined, the blade gets a little ruined, they're very mocked. But people don't lend out sharp knives. So the fact that he has in his hand, he could claim, I bought it. No one lends these knives out. So that's what the Gemara ends up concluding. Now, there's an interesting tosos here. I'm not going to go through it, but there's a machlokas. The Gemara says, safra da agarata. People don't lend out safra da agarata, which is storybooks. Sound like a agarata from the Gemaras. So what about sifrei halacha? So Toso says, Rabbeinu Tam says, Kal v'chomer, Sifrei Halacha, people will lend out because you're being involved in a mitzvah there. Rashi says, no, people don't lend out Sifrei Halacha because you're makbid, it might get ruined. Sifrei Gata, you don't care as much if it gets ruined, but Sifrei Halacha, which are very important, one would be makbid not to lend it out. So that's a machlokas. What about Halacha?
Then, not now.
But exactly then. Right. But the halacha is brought down the halacha. You have to be careful about other people's svarim, but nowadays, since it's so readily available, we're not as makpid with svarim.
Now people borrow from all business.
Right, exactly. Hadron halach hamakabel. Okay, we end the ninth parak. Now we're beginning the tenth parak. Yeah.
What's the svara behind the fact that the person, things that are usually lend, you know, that he cannot do that kind of, I mean, it's hamotzi mechavar daraya. The guy is sitting with something, sitting in his house.
So I don't remember, but my guess would be similar.
I'm learning it, but I don't remember.
My guess would, it would be similar to Shlo Tinol Delos B'fnei Aloven, or in this case B'fnei Asholim. If I know every time I lend it out, you could claim that you bought it,
right.
So I'm not going to lend things out to you. I'm not going to rent things out unless I need a document every time I lend something to you. Oh, you want my pot? Write it down.
But so what? So it's because in Adam his panel is that what it is? Because otherwise, every time I would go to your house, I'd say, you know what, this knife, you know, it's mine.
Right. So I think the klal is that anything that's normally lent out, you can't claim you bought it unless you have proof of purchase. I mean, even though Moti Chaver Raya here, we say the status quo is the original owner gets it. When it comes to knives, forks, pots, whatever's lent out normally, if it has my name on it, there's a YL on initials, you can't claim you bought it from me unless you have proof of purchase. Because, okay. New parak, the last parak of Bava Metzia. This is an introduction to Bava Basra. It leads right into Bava Basra. It talks about Yachloku Halachas. So about the different, when the wall falls over, that's the first mission, Bava Basra. So here the mission tells us, Habayis v'Haliyah. There's a first floor, and then Aliyah, there's a second floor, and there's people living there. Now the maskir, the renter, one who rents out, the landlord lives in the bottom floor, and he's renting out his upstairs apartment to some other person. So Habayis v'Haliyah shel shnayim. They're owned, lived in by two people, two families. Shenaflu shneim, shenaflu, both, it falls. Shneim chokin be'itim b'avanim u'v'afer. They all divide up the wood and the lumber and the stones and dirt, all evenly, 50-50. And then Rowan Elu Avanim Hasuyas Lishtaber, and they have to assess which ones were meant to be broken. The Gemara is going to explain how, what does that mean? How, depending how it fell, will indicate which bricks broke from the top floor or the bottom floor. And Im Haya Echan Mehen Makir Mikses Avanav Notlin Veoloslo Minacheshwan. If one person is able to somehow recognize which stones and lumber it is, so he could take it, and that just takes as part of the calculation to make sure that everything is even. So the Gemara says now, we can look at Rishi Rashi. Rashi talks about, it obviously depends on the height and the width, whatever it is, you split half and half. Let's say the downstairs was 75% of the house and the upstairs were 25%, you'd split 75-25. It all depends. The initial, you don't do 50-50 always. If one was bigger than the others, you do that ratio of division. So the Gemara says, Mitikatani Rowan, the fact that you try to assess the situation, Michlau the Ikal Meka Malayu, it sounds like you could figure out whose bricks are whose. So what are you dividing? What's the yachloka here? Ibechafsei nafil, ibechafte nafil. So you could find out if it fell over because of chafsa or chafta. What's the difference? Chafsa versus chafta. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, ibechafsei, it's halfway down the Rashi's. Ibechafsei nafla, v'tata izbur, could appreciate. If the bottom fell, ibechavata nafel, kechavata semakel v'aliyah sa'itbar. If it fell over because it was too tall, it wasn't have enough strength, so it tumbled over, it tilted over like that, or the bottom wasn't strong enough and just it crumbled on the bottom. That's, depending how it fell, that will indicate which ones broke. So if the tata, the bottom broke because it wasn't strong enough, the foundation wasn't strong, it's going to crush. The broken bricks will be in the bottom. If it tipped over, then the top ones, Mistama, broke, and that's how you could decide.
Well, can they both owners, not one's renting
the other? No, the landlord is the one in the bottom, and he's renting his top apartment to some other guy.
But this case
must be owners.
No,
This is later on the Gemara is going to talk about Mascha Versocha. This has to, yeah, you're right. So this must have to be, it has to be owners, you're right. So then the Gemara says, so if you know how it fell versus it tipped over or just crumbled, so ihachi reisha maichokin. Why do you have to divide yachoku? Nechsei ibechavata nafil. If it fell chavata because it was too tall and tipped over, then aliyasa isbar. Then the top ones broke and shattered, and the bottom ones for the most part were probably whole. Now ibechavsa nafil. If it fell because of the weight, it just crumbled. Tatyasa is bar. The bottom ones are broke. So what's the yachloku here? Just you could figure out easily the full bricks versus the broken bricks. So Gemara says, no, lo tzricha denafil belayla, it fell over at night, so no one knows how it fell. So Gemara says, v'lech se betafra. So look in the morning how it fell. You could tell if it crumbled straight down or it tilted. So Gemara says, no, the problem is, difaninu, they moved it over by morning. At nighttime it broke and it was in the way, so someone moved it off to the side and then they messed everything up. You know, it comes to insurance claims, you want to leave everything as is, so not to mess anything up, everything as is. So once you start playing around with the evidence, so then you have no idea what happened, no matter how cold it is. So then the Gemara says, "Lech se man pininu." So go see how they turned it over, where they moved it from. So the person who moved it over, maybe he could indicate, tell you what happened. For the shilenu, they ask him what happened. How did he see it initially? What was the first evidence? So the paninu b'nei rishis rabim. No, there was no in the one person who did it. It was in rishis rabim and panin and azli alma. People walked and moved it, kicked the bricks over to the side, and they went on their way to the next city. There's no one around to testify what had happened. So lech se brishus diman yosvin v'levi ida hamotzi mechaveir alav haraya. See whose property the bricks are in, and then decide hamotzi mechaveir alav haraya. So Gemara answers, wait a second. So Gemara says, no, lotzicha di yosvin mechatzet de tevayu. It's in both their shared property. So there's no clear case here. Now, it's by the way, it's interesting that you can even... It's a very strange question. It's not fair. Because some Rishi guy, so now I get a greater taina here.
It's not only that, but I think they both own the land. No, I mean it doesn't make it. Unless they have two chatters, one on each side.
It has to be front yard, backyard. Let's say. Okay. So, but I don't understand the claim. If it happened to be some guy threw it into your property, you get a. So that's itself in a shaila. Right. It's an interesting application of hamotzi mechaveir alav haraya. Then the Gemara says, "Iha inami." Alternatively, Rishis Harabim. It fell into Rishis Harabim, which is no man's land, so nobody has a greater tfisa over the other. Alternatively, shutvin b'chiyagavna lokapti hadade. The partners. Now, even though one has a one backyard, the other one has a front yard, they're not really makbin on each other of using each other's yard. So, therefore, because it's in one guy's possession, chachip, it's not going to preclude the other guy's taina.
So the Mishnah is talking in a very, very, very specific case.
Yeah.
But there are two cases. One that it fell at night. That's the reisha. The safer is when it's in front of us.
Well, the ratio is Holkin. Ratio of Holkin is we have no idea.
Right. No idea,
but when you know.
Is where it's in front of us and we can investigate.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now, but it's the Holkin, right. Where it says Holkin, right. Can only happen if it fell during the night and in Rishis Haravim and somebody who cleaned it up, we don't know who it was. Right.
And basically,
any other time, you should know.
Or maybe they went on vacation. You know, they went on vacation, they came back and they see a pile
both
of rubble.
You know, right. No one was there.
No, they went to
sleep. Fine. So then the Mishnah says, "Imhaya echad man makir." If one guy recognizes which stones and boards are his, so halamatoin. What's the other guy taina? I say that's my brick. So what's the other guy? If he says it's his, so why do I get it more than him? Ida kamar in. If he says yeah, that's yours, pshita. So of course I get to keep it. There's no discussion. Vilomar in. If he doesn't say yes, meaning he says no, so lama nota. Why do I have the right? He says yes, I say it's mine. He says it's his. So why do I get it over him? The guy says, I don't know. I'm not familiar with this structure. I don't know the stones. So I say it's Vade mine, and you say, Shema, maybe. So Shema Vibari, Bari Adif, we always say. So the Gemara says, Lema Tev. So that's why the Mishnah says, I get to keep it, because it's I say Vade, you say Shema. Lema Teve Tiyufta Rav Nachman. So this Mishnah is now going to be a Tiyufta to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, who's in Amora, cannot argue in this Mishnah. So what's Rav Nachman say? The guy says, you have $100 that you owe me. And you say to me, you're not sure. Maybe, maybe not. So Rav Yehuda Amar Chayv, you have to pay. Because Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. So you have to pay. You have a Shema claim. You have to pay to my Vadai claim. But Rav Nachman V'Rabbi Yochanan Amri Pater, they say you're Pater. So here too as well. If you say Ein Yodea, so it should be Pater. I shouldn't have the ability to take the stones and wood. So Gemara says, no. Kedama Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says in another instance, Kegon Shiyesh Esek Shvua Beneihem, Hachanami Kegon Shiyesh Esek Shvua Beneihem. It's talking about a case where there's a Shvua. For another reason, there's a Shvua between the two of us. Normally, Ein Yodea, case Ein Yodea is Pater. When there's a Shvua involved, so then you can be Mechayvim. What's the Shvua? How do you get a Shvua in here? Kedirava, Rava says, Dama Rava, Mani Li, Mana Li Biyadcha Vala Omer Ein Lecha Biyadiyah Lecha Mishim. Guy says, I only have 50. You claim 100, I say I have 50. Ashar, Ein Yodea. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. So mitoch shen yachal lishava mishalim. So really the halacha is modem mikzas. We know midiraisa. Kiyuza, the pasuk says modem mikzas chayiv midiraisa. You have to take a shvua that I don't owe you anymore. But I don't know the other 50. Any odeya. So since I can't make a shvua on that, I therefore have to pay. So here as well, it has to be a claim where I say, those are yours, I know those are definitely yours, but the others that you're claiming, I don't know. So it's a mode of a mixed case here. I'm really chayv a shvua, but since I can't take a shvua because the other half of any day I'm saying, so therefore I have to pay you the other stones as well, since you're vada I claim versus my any day claim. But in a situation where there wouldn't be a shvua, you say they're all yours, and I say, I don't know if any of them are yours, then in a chanami, you would have no taina over me. It would be a case of pata. And that's what Rav Nachman says. We're good? Okay, fine. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Va'olos lo min ha-cheshbon. So now if the guy's makir, which is his, so he takes it, and that's a part of the calculation, he has to take it off what he was going to otherwise get. So Sava Rava Lamemar, Rava wanted to initially say, Lefi cheshbon shivuros, according to the cheshbon of the broken ones. What does that mean? Alma kevan damar ein yodeya rea tve. So what happens is, so the guy knows which are his, so he takes the vaday ones. And then it takes into account corresponding to the broken ones. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, L'cheshbon shvuros. It's around 15 narrow lines up. Note el shvuros kinegdan v'zayitel esa elo l'fi ha-cheshbon. So what's happening here, so I take the full bricks that I'm claiming, and you, who don't know, you get the broken bricks. So that's not very fair. So Amalei Abai, Abai says the other, but the opposite should be the case. No, the guy who's claiming should be worse off. The fact that I know these are mine indicates I don't think any other ones are mine. So I should get only these full bricks, and the rest should be only broken bricks. That's what Rava's Abai is trying to suggest. But I'm a guy who knows it's construction. I know construction well. So I'm claiming that these bricks are mine. I know these full bricks are valid mine. What about the other full bricks? Must be that I'm not claiming them indicates that. And it must not be mine, so all the remaining full bricks will go to him, and I have to get the all broken bricks.
And the halachah is that they split the rest?
The halachah is split, right. So Gemara says, Sulesa, you shouldn't have any more. So V'idach kula hayachanani, the other guy should get everything else. So Ela Amar Bai says, no, Lefi cheshbon shlemos, which is the simple understanding. I claim that these are 100 full bricks of mine, so you get 100 full bricks connected that. And that's how it goes out. So, ihachi ma'ilek kamanile, who cares then? If we're on the end of the day getting the same bricks, who cares whether these full bricks are mine or those full bricks are yours? They're all the same. Ah, so the Gemara says, my kamanile, what benefit is there for me? Limilvane ravcha, some bricks might be a little bit wider than the other ones. So we're not doing it by weight or size, we're doing it by number, quantity. So there's some bigger bricks and some small bricks. So even though one's bigger, one's small, that's considered one connected one. That's one for one. So some bigger bricks, I'm claiming the bigger bricks are mine. Inami, alternatively, tina de ma'abde. The type of material that was used might be a stronger material. That's why I prefer those red bricks versus those white bricks, let's say. Okay. Fine, let's continue. That's the mission. The mission tells us, habayis v'halia. So this is a case of a maskin asocha, I believe. The guy is the landlord living on the bottom, and he rents his upstairs apartment. So nifchasa ha'aliyah. Now what happens is in the attic, the ceiling of the floor between the two apartments, there's a hole in it. Vein bal habayis wrote to lesakin. Now the bal habayis, the maskin, the landlord, refuses to pay it. He refuses to fix it. Hare bal ha'aliyah yored v'dar lamata. This is going to work out well. So the guy in the second floor apartment goes to live down in the first floor apartment. V'dar lamata, and he lives there in the guy's home. Achiyasakin los ha'aliyah. Until you do your job, I'm living in your home. So I don't think it's going to go over very well.
Yeah,
what?
Mother-daughter.
Right, exactly. So so Rabbi Yossi Omer hatachton nosin es hatikra ve'elyon es hamazeva. So Rabbi Yossi says you have to split the costs here. So the bottom guy puts the first floor, which is his ceiling, the first level, and the top guys that put the floor on top of that, so half and half are going to be...
In other words, when the renter signs on, he has to know that he has to take a client's...
Yeah, you have to certain parts. You have to. That's what it seems like, according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Now, which is interesting because you would think everything should really be on the landlord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rabbi Yossi, I seem like we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. But it could be part of that wear and tear. You know, he could claim that wear and tear is what you're doing. Or maybe you want to choose what type of floor
and
you
tear
want.
Wear should be included in the rent. The rental should not be responsible.
Uh-huh. I guess we'll see. I don't remember if the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yossi. So maybe tomorrow's daf, it might explain Chita's Rabbi Yossi, what that means exactly, what the svar is. Rashi doesn't indicate anything to us right now about this. So the Gemara now says, Nifcha Sabakama, how much? Let's say there's a tiny hole. So obviously a tiny hole is not going to affect my Hishtamshus here. So how large of a hole is it where I'm allowed to go down and move into your apartment? So Rav Amar Biruba, most of it, which is that's a big chumra for the guy on top. So as long as the half of it's open, but the other half, the 30% hole, you know, his floor is broken, there's a hole in it, he has to live there until he has 51% broken. So by Shmuel Omer, Barba, no, if you have a 4x4, I'm not sure if the shear is a circle or a square, whatever that shear is, if there's a 4x4 amount, Arba should be Tvachim, I think. Does it say which one? Yeah, Arba, the way it works in Hebrew, Dr. Smai will tell us that when the numbers are Nikeva, so the measure is in Zachar, Arba Tvachim, Arba, or Arba Amos. Amos in the Keva, but the number is in Zachar. So that's how it works. So it's very confusing. Arba is Amos, Arba is Tvachim, right?
Yes.
It's true, right? Okay. You're not sure? Okay, sorry. I heard people who speak Hebrew don't really know diktik so much.
No, but the problem is there is no, because I always have a hard time with diktik, meaning what's feminine, and there is no reasoning behind it.
No, wherever there's a hey means it's a Nekeva.
No, but I'm saying, let's
some
say...
Some are both.
Yeah, we switch off.
There's
one, a few examples. No, but the usual rule is Arba is Nekeva and then Amos is Nekeva, but they switch for numbers. So anyways, Arba is referring to Tvachim. So I don't know if the Tvachim means, you know, a square Tefach or in a circle, but either way, Tvachim, that small amount, Rashi explains here, Arval Arba Lo, that is... I'm sorry, let's go first. I didn't read more in the Gemara, sorry. So Gemara says again, Rav Amar Ruba, Shmuel Amar Barba Tvachim. Rav Amar Baruba, Aval Barba Lo, only Ro, but if there's a 4 Tvachim hole, it's not a big deal. So because Adam Dar Chetzilamata, he doesn't have a problem, he'll put some Kalim upstairs and some Kalim downstairs. He's not going to live downstairs, but he's allowed to use downstairs, according to Rav, if there's a 4 Tefach hole in his floor.
Once there's a hole, you cannot use the base.
You use it, but you can't live there. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Aval barba lo, sheinu mechus elamakum hanachas kliachat. One kli, all right. Yeah, 1 foot, 1 square foot is a hole. All right, so you can't put your pot down there. So what you could do is that kinegdo yitain kliacher kigon tevo arivo lamata. So that kli you can't put upstairs, you're allowed to store downstairs. You could just store it, but you can't live there. He's going upstairs anyways, up and down. So as he goes to the downstairs, he'll pick up his kli, bring it upstairs, and then store it back downstairs when he needs it. So then the Gemara says further, Shmuel Amar Barba, no, even if there's a 4 tefach hole in your floor, Ein Adam Dar Chetzilamata Chetzilamala. No one lives like that. So once you can't put one kli upstairs, that means you could enforce him to fix your roof. So Gemara wants to know, hey Chidami, what's the case here? Let's discuss further. Ida Amar Aliyazu Azda. If the maschil, the landlord, said, I'm going to give you this attic, this space, this attic apartment, well, it left, it's gone. So he has no responsibility to replenish it anymore. This was the deal. This as is. That's what he gave him, as is. So then there's no replacing, you have no taina. Eladamar Le Aliyastam, if he says, I owe you an attic apartment somewhere, so if this one broke, so Logar Le Achrisa, then the Maschi has the obligation to get him another attic to live in. So he has to rent him another place. So Amar Rava Lo Tzricha, no.
I think it's
a
bit me. It needs to be a landlord.
A bit me, yeah?
You have to put him up somewhere else?
You mean that you have to put him somewhere else?
Yeah. No, I think you have to. Look at Rashi. See Rashi 3 lines up. Loger lo achrisi im yesh, if he has another property to give him out to. Vilama anu kofin is a maskil lakolta ima babais. Why does maskil have to let him live in the house? He should just send him off to another house. But he has a responsibility to ensure he has another place to live. That's his side of the agreement. So why does he have to let him live in his own house on the bottom floor? So Amar Rava, Rava says, lo tzricha, no, the only case, this Mishnah is talking about a very specific case also, Amar Le Aliyah Zu Shani Maskir Lecha, this attic that I'm renting to you, Kisalka Salak Ba'adei V'chinachas Chavis Ba'adei. So what's going on here? So Rashi explains here, Kisalka Ba'odekayim, that's when it's good, you're going to live there. But V'chinachsa Im Tivchos Nachas Ba'ada Gur Ba'bayis. But if it's going to break, then you could live with me down here. That was part of the agreement that they had. So at what point could that term kick in? When do you have the right to live with me? How big does that gape in my floor have to be for you to, you know, move in with me? That's the situation here. So Gemara says, "Ihachi Ma'ala Meimra." If that's the agreement they made, what's the chiddush here? If they made an agreement, you can move into my property, my house, and when yours breaks, So of course you're allowed to move into the apartment. So El Amar Ravashi, Rashi says, no, the Amar Le Aliyazu Shal Gave Bayis Ze, this attic on top of my house, Ani Maskir Lecha, I'm giving Maskir to you, the Ha Shabed Bayis La Aliyah. The way he formulated it, the attic on top of my house, that's indicating that Bayis is supposed to be a Shiva, it's supposed to be a part of the attic, which means as a backup. He didn't say this explicitly, but the fact that you mentioned it together, it was understood that if you can't live upstairs, Mimele you could live downstairs. So since it was only implicit, that's why the Mishnah is being Mechadish, that implicit understanding will actually come to reality if the upstairs attic does break. V'chiha, the Amar Rabin by Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, is like what he had said. There's once a Maisa Be'echad, Shamer L'chavero, the guy says to his friend, the less Sha'al, the gears have changed 1 second here. That's his name, right? Rashi Dalas al Geffen Modlis. It's a vine that's hanging over. A grapevine hanging over. Dalas Sha'al Gave Parsik, which is a type of fruit. What's that, a peach or something?
A parsik, yeah.
Peach, right? So you have a grapevine hanging over a peach. Ze ani mochelch. I'm selling you this grapevine that hangs over the peach tree, okay? Benekar parsik. Now the peach tree has been uprooted, so now the vine doesn't exist because I described it as being in with respect to the peach tree. Right. You have to replace that peach tree so long as the vine is there, you have to replace it. Because you see, when you formulate a statement like that, putting the two together, there's an implicit understanding that the peach tree is supposed to be under the grapevine. Now, I don't know what the relationship between the peach tree and the grapevine, I don't know if it gives it flavor, I don't know why you need that to be there. But either way, same too with the Ali and the bias. If you mention both as part of that agreement, that means the bias is supposed to be tafel to the aliyah, whereby if you can't live in the attic, you have the right to live
if
in the bottom floor.
He doesn't mention anything, what's a halacha?
So it sounds from here, the halacha is that if he says aliyah zu, you have no place to live. If aliyah stam, I need to find you another place.
If he says aliyah zu,
in the small hole,
then it doesn't go down.
With a small hole.
Right.
The big hole.
No, bachlokas. Whatever the size hole is for Rav Shmuel, whatever one is, whenever they're allowed to move down, why are they allowed to move down? How do you have the right to move into the guy's house? I mean, we understood the mission initially because we're trying to give a penalty to the landlord to make him give it. That's true.
What if it's a big hole?
Still, if it wasn't part of
the zoo, supposed to live there?
No, that was the agreement.
Too bad.
Too bad. Exactly.
You fix it.
But the key is, initially when you read the Mishnah, the Mishnah's initial understanding is that as a knas for the landlord, you live with him, you move to your landlord and back Lawrence to live with him until he gives you property. You have no right to do that. It's only because the agreement had a term that you can't live there, you could come into my house,
right.
And it was said implicitly, that's what the Mishnah is talking about.
If he says Aliyah Zu, and if it breaks, he can just keep it broken forever. And